beef prices tend to decline seasonally into the fall. And if you think about it, we got grilling season in the summer. Now we're past Labor Day, gets a little cooler. We kind of change our eating patterns normally. So that tends to, and we also tend to see a little more beef production later in the year than in that summertime. So, we have the potential for some seasonally lower prices, but still at record highs. But if we count this forward, the biology of producing more beef, it's some years out before we get a lot more supply.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Yolitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to Yolitics here.
Welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
I'm doing something different today.
You are, and I'm impressed because you're drinking a beer that has no fruit in it. What are you actually having?
I'm not sure it doesn't have fruit in it.
Does it?
It's a hazy IPA. It's from Real Ale Brewing Company, and it has a strong note of grapefruit.
Tasting notes, you can go ahead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. With fruit, wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
And I love grapefruit.
And is that from Fort Worth here where we are?
Fort Worth?
Downtown
no,
Fort
goodness,
Worth?
No. This is from Blanco, Texas. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, it's in Central Texas. It's
where?
Just west of Austin.
Central Southwest Texas. More. Yeah.
I know. Come on. Give me something else. Come on. Harder than that.
Okay, I'll give you this. Since we're at a barbecue restaurant,
yeah.
And this is sort of the theme of what we're doing, we're at Panther City in Fort Worth, by the
South
way, which
Maine.
Is phenomenal
yeah.
barbecue. I'm going to ask you this. How many head of cattle are there in Texas?
You know what I learned a long time ago when I moved to Texas?
And it's a trick question.
Well,
you should be asking me a question back I ask you that question.
One of the very first stories I covered, I remember I was working in Houston at the time. And I was down in Brazoria County. I said, to the farmer I was interviewing,
yeah.
How many head of cattle do you have?
You're not supposed to ask that.
He said, let me tell you something, son. Never ask a man how many head of cattle do you have.
You always pay attention to someone when they say, let me tell you something, son.
I said,
the
yes, sir.
The son part is
yes,
like,
sir.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah,
next
I
question.
Don't need to know. Yeah. Well,
so I learned that early on. I'm not gonna answer that because it's got to be a trick question. What is it?
Well, first of all, you should have asked me. By head of cattle, like, do you mean those that are at feedlots? Do you mean beef cattle? Do you mean dairy cattle?
Dairy cattle. What?
There's many, but give me a guess as to how many.
Head of cattle. Beef cattle in Texas right now.
Yeah.
9 million.
Way lower than that. 4.02 million.
Really?
Yeah. And see, that's part of the issue.
Where have all the cows gone?
Into our stomachs over the years. And so what's happening right now, I'm sure that you've noticed this if you've been to a grocery store in the meat section. Yeah. By the way, do you know what my first job ever was?
You were a butcher somewhere, which totally does not surprise me.
I worked in a butcher department at a grocery store.
Daryl, our producer, does that surprise you at all that he's hacking up carcasses and meat?
Not just carcasses and meat.
Oh, well, okay, here we go.
Myself. You know how many stitches I got?
You have all your fingers.
I have all my fingers, but they all have stitches on them.
See, that doesn't surprise me at all.
They all have scars on them. They
you
stitches
need to take
them.
A knife, a big, knife and cut
it was,
through.
It's a tough job. Even when you're wearing mesh gloves and that
and
sort
that
of thing.
Didn't, that didn't help. That didn't help you at all, huh?
What do you mean?
It didn't help you, get over the internal rage you have?
No, it didn't. It maybe
it just added to it.
It
probably.
Might have added to it. You know how many cuts I've had that really hurt? So if you've been to a grocery store, you've noticed this. Especially, though, if you've been to the barbecue joint, you've noticed
right.
the price of beef in this last year, especially.
We just ate here at Panther City Barbecue.
Well, but we're eating on the Yolitics dime, so I didn't care about the price.
But how much was it? Who paid for it? I was first in line, so I didn't pay.
I noticed.
how much
I paid.
Was it?
I paid, and I don't remember how much it was.
But it was $100 or so.
Well, I was using the corporate card, and so I don't look. But the thing is when I'm using
you still
my
have
own
to
money,
live efficiently listen, in the Yolitics budget here. My
if
friend.
We were here on my budget today, and I'm not kidding you, they have that. No, they have this on the menu. They have a smoked bologna sandwich. That's what I would have had here.
How expensive is it though? It's probably
the bologna.
Yeah,
I think it was bologna. Like I think it was like $9 for the sandwich, which isn't terrible, or seven. It may have been seven. But anyway, I took a friend to eat barbecue not that long ago,
yeah.
And I was like, I'm paying, whatever. So we get to the front, and there's no prices. It's just sandwiches and sides and whatever. We get to the front for two sandwiches, two sides each, and I also had a bread pudding, or no, banana pudding. No drinks. It was $50, and I was like, for what? And it wasn't even that great. It was certainly not the caliber of Panther City.
Wow.
And that's a real thing right now. We are at record prices for beef.
So why?
We are at record prices for cattle right now. So ranchers who are growing, you know, raising cattle, they're able to sell them for a record price right now. The thing is these ranchers over the years have been burned so many times because of droughts, because of changes in the market, that they don't make their money the way they should. Mm. And so, you know, they let the herds get, you know, smaller. Our appetite for beef has gone nowhere. So we're still wanting a lot of beef in this country. And those herds are smaller now. The cows are bigger. We're able to make the cows bigger now. But the herds are smaller. And we're at, from what I was told, the lowest number of cattle in this country since the 1960s.
In the country, not the
states.
In
the country.
Really?
Yes.
So you mentioned
not just a Texas thing.
Well, you mentioned this the other day, that steaks are you know, expensive. And I don't have the same type of budget you do, Wheeler, so I don't go out and have steak as much as you do.
I eat red meat about 3 times a year. It's not that often.
But the point was, I was like, wow, are you serious? Steak's really that expensive? Barbecue's really that expensive? And I was just happened to be interviewing the Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, and I said, well, let me ask him about this. Is this really happening? I said, you know, Commissioner, my colleague Jason Wheeler says, I don't know if it's true or not, but a lot of people are talking about it, including Jason Wheeler, that the price of beef and barbecue is way up. And here's what he said.
The good news is we're not, we may be low in cattle numbers, but we're not that low on beef, and I'll explain that. Normally, a steer in the feedlot would be sent to the processing plant at about 1,150, 1,200 pounds. Because of low corn prices, we're able to feed those up to 1,200 and 1,500 pounds. So each steer now is producing about 20% more beef. So that's what's kept the price of beef, especially hamburger and the lower cuts, at a reasonable price. We're low on cattle, but our total overall beef is not at that same ratio.
And everything I'm reading is there's kind of no end in sight for this, that these prices are going to remain high for quite a while. Do you expect that to happen?
Well, yeah, I think they're going to be up there for a while. I don't know that they'll stay at these prices. If we could, you know, solve the screw worm problem in Mexico and open up the ports to our stocker cattle coming out of Mexico, we get about 15% of our cattle from Mexico. We haven't really gotten any there in about 10 months. So that is exasperated the cattle numbers, you know, that we have, and that's another 15% fewer numbers. So if we could open that up, of course, those numbers are backed up. We'll have to be careful. We'll have to let them trickle in slowly, or we'll crash the market. But when that opens up, that should relieve some of the beef prices for consumers.
So you know what? I didn't realize that we get that much cattle from Mexico. 15% of our cattle's from Mexico.
Do you know what we usually import red meat for? Do you know what we usually import beef for?
No. Barbecue.
Do you know what kind we import the most?
What am I, a butcher? My first job wasn't...
Clearly, we haven't been on Wikipedia this time like we were last week, when you seem to know all these little factoids, that none of which were right, by the way.
They were close.
So I'm told that what we import is lean beef into this country to make ground beef. Because our cows have plenty of fat, but we need those lean cuts. Because if you had worked in a butcher, shop, you would know that you mix those in, and that determines whether you do the 80%, the 90%, etc.
What is this, 1940? I mean, come on.
Well, that's how it works.
And do you have a hairnet and everything also?
And what do we export the most? Do you know?
As far as cattle goes, or
beef.
What?
The high-end stuff.
Really?
Yeah, and then
the
also...
Texas Wagyu or what?
Yeah, and then also some of the livers and things, the things that we don't have as much of an appetite for here in
Where
this country.
Where does that go?
All kinds of places, all over the world. Oh. I mean, people love our beef.
No, the livers.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know specifically. Now you're turning the tables on me. Okay.
How do you not know
I should have studied that.
How do you not know this? Where does the spleen go, Wheeler? Do you not know where the spleen goes?
They do make use of that whole cow.
I'm sure they do, yeah. It's in a soup somewhere, I bet.
So this is what was fascinating to me. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I do
here
this.
Here we go.
I do this whole series of reports called Right on the Money.
I haven't heard of it, yeah.
Anyway.
Where can we see these?
If you follow me at Jason Wheeler TV on social media, you can find all of them there, or you can look up WFAA.com/right on the money. I have my own landing page there. Anyway.
I thought you were going to say slash Jason Wheeler.
Yeah, no. They don't love me that much.
It's probably jasonwheeler.com/WFAA.
I don't know what that'll take you to. So I what fascinated me here was I got this guy on the line with me on Zoom. His name is Dr. David Anderson. He's a professor of livestock and food product marketing at Texas A&M.
Well, but before you get to him, how did you find this story? Were you in the grocery store?
No. Well, okay, I'll tell you how I found it. I almost choked one day, and it was at that barbecue restaurant at the register. And I was like,
I love how you delivered that up into the end.
50
you
bucks
were straight
for
face
this?
Up into the end, and then you just lost it.
It wasn't even that great. So,
but after you had
so
that
part
meal
of it was that,
after
that
you had
realization.
The meal, you said, I need to figure out what the hell this
well,
is.
Well, after I had that meal, I filed that in the back of my head, like, I got to do something on beef prices. Well, you know, I forgot all about right. it, whatever. You know how I don't really keep a calendar too well
at all.
And so, not long ago, it just happens. I was down in, you know, reading some journals and some charts. Yeah. And
imagine that.
It's part of what I do.
The Beef Quarterly.
You know me. Let me
journal.
Tell you, we're all complex
Who
people.
Who doesn't subscribe to the Beef Quarterly Journal?
We are all. It was something. It was a weird name.
It was pretty close, brother. Right?
We're all complex people. Yeah. You know me as a fun, crazy, happy-go-lucky party animal.
We gotta cut this part
But
out.
There's also the part of me that is serious and into his work.
We
and,
only know the serious part of
and
you.
And you know, at 1:30 in the morning, you might well find me down in page 138 of a PDF about beef prices. Just don't know.
And that's not a dream. That's real life. That's the problem.
More like a nightmare.
So you were concerned about this.
So I was concerned about this, and I wanted to find out more about it. And the more I found out, the more I wanted to know, because it's fascinating. Because you think, well, why don't you just make more cows?
Yeah,
like make more
easy,
beef, whatever.
Yeah.
This is like one of those big ships, like a warship that you try to turn around on a dime. It doesn't happen. It takes a long time to get more beef into the supply chain, much longer than I thought. And so we talked with Dr. David Anderson. Did I get that name right?
David Anderson, yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Professor of livestock where, though?
Yes, David Anderson. Professor of livestock and food product marketing at Texas A&M. And here is the fascinating conversation with him about why our beef prices are so high and why they're going to be staying high for a very long time.
We'll just dive in here. I just think it's interesting what's going on with beef and cattle, and I think a lot of people probably don't understand it much, and so it's good to have somebody who does.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's been lumped in with kind of the overall inflation numbers and in the last CPI report. That caught everybody's attention, I think, just because it jumped so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, high prices or record high prices, this is kind of the culmination of a number of years of been building up. And the easy part is we think about from a supply standpoint, we've got fewer cattle, both in Texas and the U.S. In fact, it's the fewest number of beef cows since 1961. So we've got fewer cattle. And you know, I think people, you know, the reasons are pretty simple. One is we've had a bunch of droughts all over the country that have forced ranchers to reduce the number of cows that they have. And we went through a number of years of really terribly low prices and rising costs. And so both from an economic standpoint and a weather standpoint, we've reduced the size of our herds, and now it's catching up to us in terms of prices.
Even that being said, though, you know, everything is relative. Texas still leads the country in the number of cattle, and we're up over, what, 4 million?
We have over 4 million beef cows. We have over 12 million total cattle on January 1, which is kind of USDA's inventory report, because we're also the largest cattle feeding state. So in the Texas Panhandle, we have a lot of feedlots, and that's where calves that are born on ranches eventually go to a feedlot, and we've got the most cattle in feedlots as well. And we're also a major dairy-producing state. We've got over 600,000 dairy cows, and the big growth in that over the last 15 years or so has been in the Texas Panhandle also. Hmm. So we've got a lot of dairy cows. We've got over 4 million beef cows and a bunch of cattle in feedlots.
So I think that's interesting too, because the lay person out there doesn't delineate between those different ones. Most people are thinking about those beef cattle, I guess, because they're thinking about their beef prices. So you were talking about, how many cattle there are now, compared to, 50, 60 years ago. And boy, there's a big drop off there. What are we looking at as far as prices for cattle?
We've got record high prices for cattle. The calves that ranchers are selling are record high. The cattle going from a feedlot to a meat packer are record high. And we see that, in wholesale beef prices and in the retail price at our grocery stores and restaurants.
It takes a while too, doesn't it? I mean, people are like, well, let's get more cattle in there. This is a pretty cyclical thing that you can't just, wave a wand and overnight you've suddenly got a lot more head of cattle out there on the prairie.
Well, that's right. We talk about a cattle cycle. It's a cyclical industry. On average, historically, this cycle has lasted 10 years from kind of bottom in numbers to bottom in numbers. And it just takes time because of really biology. So let's say a rancher gets the market signal from record high prices. Oh, I want to expand my herd because that's the signal to produce more cattle. And so we keep a calf that we hope is going to have calves over the rest of her life, but she's not going to have her first calf till she's 2 years old. So that's 2 years from now. That calf won't be at its full-grown weight leaving a feedlot for another 20 months or so. So that pushes 4 years from the market signals to produce more, and assuming the weather cooperates and it rains and there's grass, it's almost 4 years till we start seeing more beef production. So it's a long process, much longer than, say, pigs or chickens.
Where are we at in that cycle right now then? Are we seeing, are ranchers getting that signal right now with these, record high prices for beef? Are they getting that signal that, okay, it's time to increase the herd size? Or, is there a part of them that says, hey, you know what, I'm just going to, I want to kind of keep things like they are right now because it's good money right now.
Absolutely. So we have to balance that. So I can get the check or take the money and run today, versus what her future earnings are going to be over her lifetime. And so, recently, the check in hand has been worth more than the future. And that's kept us from expanding. And then, some worries about drought, will all this rainfall and great grass conditions that we've had, will that continue? Or are we going to head into another drought? That's got, I think that has slowed people down too. And we've had higher costs, and so these really high prices are helping offset a bunch of costs from the past too. So the market signal I think is there. We've been a little slow to expand, but we're right here on the cycle in this cattle cycle. We're pretty close to the bottom in terms of beef cow numbers. We may start to see a little expansion.
Probably what starting next year, you think?
Yeah, I think our beef cow numbers on January 1, we're going to be pretty close to where we were on January 1 of 2025. I think one of the keys will be the statistics on how many heifers ranchers kept back, those young females, to become cows. So I kind of look for that number to grow and our cow herd to be fairly close one way or the other, maybe a little smaller, maybe a little bigger, but pretty close to sort of the trough of this cycle.
So if you had to, and I always hate asking people to pull out the crystal ball because, the crystal ball is hard. But if you had to look into a crystal ball, what do you see as far as beef prices going from here? I mean, we're sitting at this peak right now. What do you see in 26, 27, 28, 29? When do we see them go down if things continue the way they are now?
From a supply standpoint, the pressure is on for higher prices in the future. We've got higher, that last CPI report had record high beef prices, but the wholesale market is higher today than it was then. So wholesale prices feed into retail prices, and we're producing less beef. But the other thing, too, is to expand beef production in the future, I got to reduce beef production today, which tightens up supplies even more. And the other side of it is really for a decade, we've had growing demand for beef. People like a great hamburger, the growth in all the hamburger national chains, the increase in folks' demand for higher and higher USDA quality grade beef, more prime. You see Wagyu at restaurants and stores, more high choice and branded products that are typically a higher quality grade. And so we've got both supply and demand working the same way to work these prices higher. So
you know, it's hard to see lower prices in the near term anyway.
What is the near term?
Oh, boy, you know, like in the next few months. Okay. You know, and that's a good question in terms of, you know, beef prices tend to decline seasonally into the fall. And if you think about it, we got grilling season in the summer. Now we're past Labor Day. Gets a little cooler. We kind of change our eating patterns normally. So that tends to, and we also tend to see a little more beef production later in the year than in that summertime. So, you know, we have the potential for some seasonally lower prices, but still at record highs. But if we count this forward, the biology of producing more beef, it's some years out before we get a lot more supply.
I was just going to ask you that. If we're looking at that cycle, that would suggest that, you know, here we are at record prices right now. If we pay attention to that cycle and just, you know, biologically how long it takes to increase the herd size, we're looking at 2, 3, 4 years before maybe we start to see significant relief. Is that a crazy thought?
No, I think that's right. From a supply standpoint, that's right. You know, the demand side is, you know, record high prices are a market signal to us consumers too, because when prices go up, we buy less, which works to bring prices down. Yet, you know, it's a product that has had growing demand because we like it. We like a good hamburger. We sure like a good steak. And so, gosh, you know, that's that, you know, in a way we're a victim of here of what we like.
Yeah, you're right. We've created the problem. So I'm curious because I want to make sure that I have this right. When you said earlier that if I'm a rancher, let's say, and I want to increase production in the future, that comes at the expense of beef production right now. What you're saying there is I could sell this female cow now or calf now. And, you know, eventually get some money for that, or I could set her aside and, you know, plan for her to have calves in the future, and that would be future production. Do I have that right?
That's right. So I could sell that calf today, that young female calf. She may go to a feedlot and become beef, you know, when she hits her full-grown weight, or I can hold on to her, and 2 years from now, when she's 2 years old, she'll have a calf. So I've got the check today versus the extra calf to sell 2 years from now. And so, you know, that gives you a notion that hopefully she would have a calf every year of her productive life. But, you know, we're going to balance the check today versus checks that would start 2 years from now. So, you know, that's kind of the choice. And
when do you need the money? Yeah.
Or, you know, for the last few years, I would argue we've been robbing Peter to pay Paul. We've been boosting beef production by not keeping those young female calves. We've been boosting beef production today at the expense of tomorrow.
Dr. Anderson, if I have one of those calves right now, and let's say I do want that money today and I want to send her to the feedlot, what's that paying me right now? Just on average, what's a benchmark there?
Oh gosh, we've had 400 to 500 pound calves selling for almost $5 a pound at our local auction markets. So, you know, you get to looking at that for, say, a steer calf, it's over $2,000 for one. Heifers typically bring a little lower price at our local auction markets than steers do, because if they're going to go to a feedlot, they don't gain weight quite as fast. It takes a little more feed compared to a steer for them to gain weight. So they tend to get a little lower price, but these are unprecedented record high prices.
I was going to ask you, if I had thrown out prices like that to you 10 or 15 years ago, what would you have thought?
I'd have probably laughed.
It would have seemed nuts.
Or something, or in fantasy land.
So we can expect these high prices to continue, but we don't know how much higher, because you mentioned that variable that's in there, sort of that trigger, which is the consumer. When do enough consumers go, you know what? We're going to have turkey or chicken or a salad tonight. We're not doing beef that we would normally do. Is that sort of the only relief that we're probably going to see for the next several years, is the, enough consumers pulling back to ease up on demand?
You know, I think that's probably right. And one of the things with demand is, you know, as price goes up, we buy less, the price of beef. But what affects or shifts demand around is for example, the price of chicken and pork substitutes, right? And beef is becoming relatively more expensive than chicken and pork. So that kind of works to kind of shift demand back a little bit. Income is a huge part of that. We really still have a growing economy. We got relatively low unemployment. Those are factors that really historically boost beef demand. You know, if you've got a job and a paycheck, you buy more beef. So, you know, we've got a number of factors there that I think certainly affect kind of the beef prices and beef demand, and the price of chickens is an important one.
So, you know, some of us will be, you know, in the store shaking our fist when we look at those beef prices that we're seeing. But, you know, we've all, I guess, seen higher prices in recent years. And I would imagine the same goes for ranchers. They're seeing a lot higher prices for their input costs. And that's making it tough to do what they do, too.
That's really kept us from expanding the herd. So even though we see higher prices for our calves, costs are higher. So the profit margin, you know, we've got record high prices, but until just recently, we didn't have record high profit margins. We had record high cattle prices in 2014, but we had not gotten anywhere near the same profit margin this time compared to the last part of the cycle with record prices. It's just because our costs are higher.
And so profit margins are higher now. What do those look like right now? We are at a record profit margin. What kind of margin is?
Oh, gosh. You know, I do some kind of broad, rough estimates of kind of net returns, kind of revenue minus cash costs, kind of broad averages. And I got calculations over $500 per cow. So that's pretty big historically. That's probably beating our record of a decade ago.
That'll pay some bills for sure. I suppose, too, that one of the things that bails us out a little bit in this market is that our cows get bigger now, right?
They do. I think that's an important factor because we talk about, oh, gosh, we've got the smallest cow herd since 1961, but we produce more beef per cow than ever before. We've become a much more efficient industry. Cattle are bigger than they used to be. They gain more weight in a feedlot. So every one of them weighs more than they did back in 1961. So one of the ways we have kept beef production historically pretty high with fewer numbers is because of weights.
And why are they heavier? What's the trick there?
Well, it's, you know, some of it's an economic signal. It's more profitable to put more weight on them before we sell them. So that's part of it. But we also, as an industry, if we went back to kind of the early to mid-1970s, we started importing more breeding stock, bulls and cows, and from continental Europe. So breeds like Limousines and Charolais and some of those continental breeds that are always a lot bigger. You know, here we had Angus and Herefords that came from England or Scotland. And we had, you know, certainly Brahmas and Longhorns and a bunch of other crossbreeding, crossbred cattle, different breeds, you know, Shorthorns and things. But we started bringing in cattle that were bigger, and the economic incentive was to breed for bigger animals. And if the calves are bigger, they got, you know, they're bigger bone, they could put on more weight. That's how we boosted production. Better nutrition and genetic selection and the works has led us to being much more productive.
Yeah. Not to jump around too much, but we were talking about the input costs for ranchers. What sort of things are they seeing increased costs for?
Oh, gosh, it's across the board. And one of them is just like the rest of us see. The gas pump and the diesel fuel pump, you know, with higher prices over time, you know, that's a big part of costs. Feed costs, like hay, for instance, because it's very common that we feed hay in the winter, and hay becomes more expensive, costs more to produce it. And when you're in a drought, prices go up for that too. So we can think of feed, we can think of, you know, labor costs, fuel, all of those things, and some of them the same ones we all face.
Yeah, it's tripped up a lot of industries, I think, in recent years. Last thing I have for you is imports. You touched on, you know, importing, you know, different bulls and so forth. Imports are helping to offset a little bit of what we're seeing right now, because we import beef as well. How big of a contributor is that, and what is that specifically?
I'll tell you what, tariffs are a hot topic in the beef industry. We both export and import beef. The key is it's different cuts. We tend to export higher value cuts, things like short ribs to Korea, you know, higher value things, and a lot of low value products, livers, for instance, things that we don't eat a lot of. So we export that. The majority of what we import are lean beef trimmings that go into hamburger and ground beef. And because, you know, if you think about it, you know, an old cow is pretty lean.
Mm-hmm.
And old cows go to hamburger or ground beef. But we have the smallest cow herd since 1961. So we don't have enough lean beef to make all of those different lean to fat ratios you see at the grocery store. So we import a lot of lean beef. We've been importing record amounts of beef this year.
And we add that to the fat that we have here.
Absolutely.
And our cattle, the ground beef.
Our cattle that go to the feedlot have more fat on them. So we've got cuts from those animals that have more fat that we can add the lean beef to and hit your 90-10 or, you know, 85-15 or 80-20 or, you know, whatever that mix is you like. We need lean to go with the fat.
So what's being said right now? I mean, you talk to a lot of different people, I'm sure. What's being said about tariffs right now? Because that complicates the whole thing, because you have tariffs that President Trump has been pursuing on different countries, I think including some of the countries that we've been importing beef from, like Brazil, right? But then you have those countries also saying, well, you do that to us, and we're going to do that to you, and we may hit beef with those tariffs. Are you hearing a lot about that?
It is a hot topic. You mentioned Brazil. We have had some months in recent years that Brazil is our largest source of imported beef. We have I don't want to get too technical. We got a tariff rate quota on beef from Brazil. So when we import beef from Brazil, it hits the trigger, the amount of beef that comes in, and the tariff jumps to 26.5%. The new tariffs that have been imposed on Brazil is another 50% on top of that. So that'll pretty much curtail a lot of beef coming here from Brazil, which cuts our supplies of beef in our market.
Which makes the price go up.
To push prices higher. That's right. So, you know, there's sure a lot of moving factors, but, you know, tariffs are a big deal in this case. And our imports are very cyclical along with our cattle cycle. The more beef we produce, the less we import. Beef we produce, the more we export.
I would think, too, that, you know, beef country, at least, you know, definitely here in Texas, but probably overall, beef country would seem to be Trump country. And I do wonder, you know, are people, you know, making their voices heard, you know, people from the industry, are they making their voices heard about this and saying, hey, we need to be able to know what to expect here and let's deal with these tariffs and maybe change some of this.
Well, tariffs do introduce more uncertainty, particularly the on and off nature that we've had of them. And so it does introduce more uncertainty to the market. You know, the tariff on Brazil, as this goes through, it would likely cut some supplies. Yet, you know, we do have some producers who would look at it and say, well, you know what, if it keeps out more of that, it boosts my calf prices. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It might be good for a rancher. Ooh, we may get higher prices. But it also means higher prices for their customers. And eventually consumer demand responds to those higher prices. And so the higher calf price, gosh, or cattle price, that might be kind of good. But if we start losing some consumers because of it, that might actually be bad. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, it sounds that way. It's a lot more complex, I think. I think we think of it in very simple terms, but it's a lot more complex than we think. But it sounds to me like the takeaway here is if you want beef prices to come down at this point, you're going to have to pull back from buying beef a little bit and tell everybody else to do the same. And maybe it dips just a little bit and you all go back in and buy it again, you know?
Yeah, or I would say keep buying beef. Keep those, you know, help those ranchers, because that's the market signal to produce more.
And so the more we keep buying beef, the better it is, the better signal our folks are getting to increase their herds and boost production and bring prices down.
I was being facetious, but that was the
perfect. I was with you. You know, that's a good point.
That was a perfect expert soundbite that I was looking for there too. That's perfect. I get an assist for that one.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there anything I've missed here that we should discuss in relation to cattle and beef prices right now?
No, I think this is pretty good.
Wow. Okay. We get a lot comprehensive.
We get a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we're going to leave people with, I think, some hunger for steaks and hamburgers when this is all over with, for sure. Dr. Anderson, thanks so much for taking the time. It's really fascinating to sort of pull back the curtain and really understand how an industry works and why it is that we're paying much higher prices for beef right now.
I appreciate you calling. I'm glad I could help out.
Thank you.